These days, when author Barbara Ehrenreich dines at a restaurant or stays in a hotel, she's much more aware of the waiters, the housekeeping staff, the low-paid workers who can sometimes seem almost invisible. "I now chat with every door opener with whom I have a language in common," she says, "and I tip big, really big, like a welfare mom who's just won the lottery." Although her sensitivity to service workers has heightened since researching her bestseller Nickel and Dimed on not getting by in America, Ehrenreich has long been aware of the conditions of people who struggle.
My husband was a union organizer, and he had not been a union organizer when we first got married. He had been a warehouse worker and went through a series of jobs like that, which paid very, very little. But then when he became a union organizer, our home was routinely filled with, you know, the janitors or the nurses or either the factory workers that he was organizing at that time. So this was just, you know, a part of my life, thinking about these issues.
The author of a dozen books, Barbara Ehrenreich began a journalistic project in 1998 that would evolve into Nickel and Dimed. She wanted to understand the plight of the millions and millions of low-wage workers in the United States who just subsist. Some hold two jobs, which they reach by public transportation. Some have moved from the welfare rolls to payrolls, but are still scraping by, sometimes skipping meals. They are the working poor, and Barbara Ehrenreich decided to join their ranks temporarily. She took jobs as a waitress, a cleaning woman, a Walmart clerk, a nursing home aide.
I have a PhD in cell biology. Didn't put that down on my application forms. For one very good reason, that if you looked, if you had an educational qualification like that, they'd think, what is wrong with her that she's doing this? And they'd think, you know, alcohol, drugs, what's, you know, there's some big problem here. So I didn't put that down. But yeah, I was a little worried. I thought, well, maybe I, you know, maybe it'll be detectable somehow. But, you know, I wish I could say that at just one point in all of this, somebody had said to me, some coworker or manager had said, you know, Barbara, you seem kind of special, kind of, you know, too educated or bright for this. Never happened. The only thing special about me was that I was inexperienced. I was always, you know, the new person learning.
And do you take that to mean that they just didn't pay enough attention to you?
No, I was working with awfully bright people and funny people and all kinds of people. So there's nothing special about me. I didn't alter anything about the way I talk, except one thing, and that was to screen out any four-letter words, because that would not look good. That would look like a bad attitude, especially at the beginning of a job.
So as a writer, you've described yourself as a person who is at home in libraries and taking breaks at Starbucks. How hard was it for you to shift gears and spend a few months laboring in service jobs?
Well, the hardest part, I think, emotionally, was always the beginning. You know, especially in when I was plopping into a strange city and feeling like, well, I have nothing. I don't have friends. I don't have a job. I don't have work. You know, I don't have a place to live. That was the worst. I would get very, very anxious at that moment of transition, shedding my normal life. And I learned something about how much a person's life is defined by their work. I mean, mine is very much defined by whatever I'm working on, you know, or by being a journalist and writer in general. And I would feel so anxious until I got a job, and then, okay, then I had a new identity. I was a cleaning lady, or I was a Walmart associate, and I'd feel better. And the interesting thing is that some of these were terrible workplaces I was in, abysmal in the way that management treated people and so on.